Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I have been telling you a very good friend of mine, Mary Ellen, is joining us today. We're going to be talking about some Christmas stories and some other spectacular things that, well, Mary Ellen just seems to have a knack of attracting. And angel stories, it's wonderful for the holidays. She's been a guest with me before. It's always a delight having her. Mary Ellen, welcome from the beautiful Pacific Northwest down in Cottage Grove, Oregon. So nice to have you on the air with me again.
Thank you, Donna. Hey, and that reminds me, I'm looking for a picture of a slug for a story that I'm doing for my pet newspaper column. And if you've got readers in the Pacific Northwest who happen to have a slug outside underneath an orange rind or something, if they could email me at angelscribe@msn, I'll share the fun story that I need a picture of a slug for.
Now, how many people would you hear making a request like that? Only from Mary Ellen. So go out, check out your slug neighbors, and send her a picture. She puts, by the way, Mary Ellen puts out a wonderful newsletter called Angel Scribe. Actually, that's her email, angelscribe.com. We're going to be giving you contact information because she has some of the most amazing stories. Now, before we get into some of these Christmas stories, Mary Ellen, I would like for you to share something that you had put out just recently about a burglary that happened next door and how you were being used for part of whatever. You got to fill us in on all this. This was quite a story.
Well, you know, I always say if you're not helping the police, you're helping the crooks. And usually, and miracles can happen to all of us, even in our fuzzy slippers. And I was, usually I'd be in the back of the office. I write a pet newspaper column. By the way, I need a picture of a cat with a slug in the picture. So I need people with cats and slugs. Anyway, so I was grooming one of my silver Persians, and I happened to glance up, and usually this time I'm in the office working, and something caught my eye. Now, this is when the young mothers are walking their children to school, so, you know, I wasn't surprised to see somebody on the street, but somebody looked like they slipped into my neighbor's car, and I thought, well, that's odd. So I kept a close watch while I'm grooming the kitty, and I thought, well, they didn't go in the front door, they didn't go in the back door, and then I kind of got up, and I bent down and looked under their vehicle, and I thought, where are they? Because they've been sitting in there for about 6 minutes, and it was just odd. And then when the person climbed out, you know what, who the people are who come to your neighbor's house. Now, these people are school teachers, and we live close enough that they can walk to school, so I thought maybe they sent a teenager over to get something out of their car. I'd seen that two or three times over the last 10 years. But the way this person was dressed, I knew instantly my hackles went up. And when they climbed out of the first vehicle and slid into their second one, I immediately called 911 and gave a full report of what they were wearing, what they were carrying, what they were doing. And they climbed out of that car just casually, as if you had parked the car in your driveway and you were going to go and check your mail. They walked down that driveway, turned and walked down the street, and I watched them climb into the next neighbor's red truck. And
amazing.
I could see them. Yeah, they sat in the driver's seat. And what was interesting, it was at daylight, it was like 10 to 8 in the morning. And then I realized if somebody's doing that at night, you know, it could spark your one of those motion detector lights, but the minute they're in the car, you know, things go quiet. So she rummaged around in there, and instead of going next door to them, she walked across the street to our car. Now, we live in a small town, and a lot of people don't lock their doors, which is crazy because these days with the drug situation, it's no longer safe. And luckily, all my doors were locked front and back, which is a good thing because what happened next was very scary. She came over to try my car. It was locked. And then she saw the police cruiser coming down the street. And she took off running right into our backyard. She had to open the gate, the fence, and run through our seven chickens. And the 911 operator wouldn't let me hang up, so I couldn't really see what was happening. But I went back after a while, and I guess the police officer couldn't find her, and we've got a tool shed and a pump house for our pool. And he looked in one side, then he ran around to the back to the other side, and he saw her. He called her by name, and she stood up, and she knew him by name. She apologized, and then they handcuffed her and took her away. And I've since learned she's been known by them since she's 11 years old. She's had 168 encounters with them.
Wow.
They said this was small peanuts for her. So obviously she's not somebody you want, you know, running around amongst your cars or your backyard. And they gave her 18 counts. It's called car clouting. It's a term that means entering a vehicle unauthorized. So they took her off to jail, and all I learned was that this was small peanuts for her, that she usually does bigger things. Like, holy smokes, all I was doing was combing fleas out of a kitty and saving the neighbors from a crime wave. And she had been robbing all night long. I saw her purse. She'd stashed it in the tool shed there. It was packed full of paperwork. It had about 4 to 5 inches of paperwork across the top, so she'd be obviously been taking people's, you know, bills and account information and, you know, whatever was in their cars that was small that she could carry. And I'd seen her adjust her clothes, and when the police got her, I said, well, make sure you check underneath her because I think she's hiding something underneath her clothes. And sure enough, she was when they got to the police station.
Amazing.
So that's, you know, taking her off the street has stopped a lot of misery for she had broken into 4 cars, and they said she didn't take anything because they leave it unlocked because they said that there's nothing in there. They'd rather not have a window broken. They'd rather a criminal see that. But criminals are a little bit different today, and bless the homeless hearts. They will climb into your vehicle. They'll sleep there at night. They'll smoke cigarettes and butt them wherever they want, and then they use it as their private kitty litter box.
Oh, yeah.
Very well known for that. So it's best for the people. The world is different. Trust in God. But, you know, the locks go up, the locks go down. If it's on your door in your home or your car, it's just best to use it because I would have been felt terrified if I'd watched her climb in my car or then come in my front door or back door.
That's the truth. Well, I wanted to share, mm-hmm. wanted you to share your story, Mary Ellen, because, one, I think it's wonderful that you're so attentive. Two, I think it is, especially during the holiday season, a time when it pays to be attentive, not fearful, but mm-hmm. attentive. And because you were there and you were noticing something and your diligence really took care of a lot of people's belongings, and I hope that your neighbors appreciate it and learn from this.
Well, I think
good.
I found out 2 of my neighbors don't lock their home doors.
Oh,
and
dear.
Now they're going to. They didn't care if somebody entered to look to see if anything was there, but they just don't want anybody going into their vehicle and defecating, which has been known to happen very often amongst the police department. So the stories become very educational in a lot of ways. It means even you can be the eyes to stop crime,
mm-hmm.
and you can help protect your neighbors, or even when you're out walking, you can keep your eyes open and protect even people who you don't know are your neighbors. So, and, you know, there was no harm to me. I stayed inside. I let them do what they wanted. I didn't know if she was armed, so I didn't go out there and investigate when they showed up.
Mm-hmm. But you did the right thing.
Thank you, Mary Ellen.
We have known each other for years, and I participated with a number of other people in your book, A Christmas Filled with Miracles, and you had a subtitle of Inspiring Stories for the Magic of the Season, and this little book is such a powerhouse, and I know we'll be giving information about your website in a little bit, but I wanted to share some of your favorite stories. There's one that I really liked, and there was a Christmas in Vietnam.
With Betty Tisdale.
Yes, and mm-hmm. would you share that story? Because Betty, she is still around. She's close to 90, isn't she?
Yeah, I believe she's 89 this year. She's still
89.
Collecting for orphans. But now it's not just Vietnam. She started that during the Vietnam era. They made a movie about her, The Children of On Lock, where she went into Vietnam and rescued 219 children. She tried to bring out 400. She forged all the birth certificates certificates because they had to have them to leave. But orphans don't usually have that. But she was helped by a lot of secret people. And they wouldn't let her bring out any child over the age of 10 because they wanted to use them basically for the next breeding stock and for possible soldiers. Could you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but she did manage to rescue 219, and this summer they had a reunion, I think in Missouri. But her website's Betty Tisdale, TISDAL.com. And if anybody wants to participate in a wonderful program, you and I both know she's legitimate. The only expense she usually has is paper clips.
Oh, she's just an amazing mm-hmm. woman. But I want to share this particular story because this was something I don't remember. Let's see exact. I'm trying to see what the exact date was, but it was in Vietnam mm-hmm. during December. And, of course, in Vietnam, it's very, very hot and humid. It was over 100 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
The war was going on big time. Betty was working at a Lock orphanage,
mm-hmm.
and she said, the 121st Signal Battalion, 1st Infantry Division, which was stationed 10 miles away from the orphanage, had adopted all of these children. I mean, it was just packed with little ones. And all of these soldiers decided that they wanted to give these children a Christmas party. So they got in touch with their families back here in the United States. And they got all kinds of gifts, and they were all wrapped by the families of the soldiers. And on Christmas Day, the trucks with hundreds of parcels. This is such a visual. Here these trucks just packed with toys.
But here's something that you don't know, is that I saw her on Como TV in Seattle, and I was looking for a story for this book. I needed a couple more Christmas miracles. When I saw her, I thought, there's somebody who's going to have a miracle. And so I just looked her up in the phone book, and I called her, and she answered. But as her phone was ringing, the radio station was playing, Here Comes Santa Claus, Here Comes Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And then that totally played into what happened in her story next, because after all the American relatives had responded so beautifully with gifts, and they just sent, you know, hundreds of them over there, and the soldiers were taking them to the orphanage. They gathered all the children, were out in the play area, and they heard a helicopter come over, and they were like, oh, no, because usually when a helicopter goes over a war zone, it's never a good thing, and they all looked up
mm-hmm.
with trepidation. But this time, leaning out of the helicopter was a strange figure to the children. It was a bearded man, white, long beard, and a red suit, and black boots. Could you imagine in that sweltering heat? And he was waving to all the children. And so they pulled the helicopter down across from the orphanage in the field there, and Santa Claus was escorted amongst these 400 children. And unbeknownst to Betty, some of the gentlemen from the 121st Signal Battalion started playing jingle bells. They had brought some musical instruments with them. And then Betty got all of the children to sing in English Jingle Bells, a song she had taught them.
Wow.
It was so moving.
Well, not only that, but in the story, in your book, A Christmas Filled with Miracles, you recognized Major Bill Hilsman, who was a general,
mm-hmm.
Sergeant Diebel, and Lieutenant Fisher. They had
mm-hmm.
all worked together on this idea for the kids, organized everything, and Betty said one of the things that really remained in her mind so vividly, that on the flat roof of the orphanage were American soldiers standing around the circumference of the playground. They had their guns in place. They were protecting the children and the people that were there from possible snipers.
Down in the courtyard?
Here's this courtyard filled with over 400 children, all of these volunteers. Somebody's playing Santa Claus. All of these gifts are going out. And these soldiers are putting their life in danger by standing out in full exposure, making sure that this is going to come about. And they had to go back to battle. And Betty said it truly was a Christmas she will always mm-hmm. remember.
They were only 4 miles from the war zone. So it was a pretty brave thing these soldiers did for the children.
Mm-hmm. Really, really was an amazing story. And with Betty, here she is still involved with this. And give out her website again, because I'd love for my listeners to know about this truly courageous woman. I wish Betty would write a book.
Oh, me too. And she's humble. I mean, she's the kindest, most humble person. Her website is easy. It's Betty Tisdale, and her last name is spelled TISDALE.com.
Yes, she's just a wonderful, wonderful woman. And so if you would like to perhaps do something in a way that will benefit children that can't help themselves, but caring people can, I'd recommend that you contact Betty Tisdale. She's in Seattle, Washington, I believe. And yes, it's Betty Tisdale, TISDALE.com.
And Mary Ellen, this story took place in 1975. And it was 20 years later that when she went back and had a reunion, 60 of the children showed up, and the minute they saw her, they all had tears in their eyes, and they started singing Jingle Bells.
Oh, wow. That's
very touching.
You know, when you think of the holiday season, you know, we talked about the one side that can happen where there's the unpleasantness of life, but here you have someone that has had experiences with those that really needed to be supported in another part of the world. And the holiday feeling goes around the world, and it really does have an impact. What is one of your favorite stories, Mary Ellen, that you just absolutely
love? One of my favorite stories, I can't remember if it's in this book, but it happened to me personally, and it was so amazing. I didn't write about it for years, but I'm going to be sending it out here in a newsletter from angelscribe.com, but we were living on Vancouver Island, my husband and I, and my two silver Persians at the time, and we packed everything up to go spend Christmas with my mother in Vancouver, B.C., and we had an hour-and-a-half ferry trip, and it was dark and dreary, and it was raining, and we get to North Vancouver, up where my mom's up high, where the Olympics were, so it was really teeming rain when we arrived, and my mom's husband had just been diagnosed with terminal cancer, and on top of it, she was having a gallbladder attack. So it wasn't exactly your favorite family memory Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we arrived there, and all of Jim's medications are lined up like soldiers to fight his illness, and very dreary. So we decide, let's just go to bed. And when I get up in the morning, everybody's sleeping, and I thought, you know what? My girlfriend on Vancouver Island's got two small children, and they'll be up, and they'll be all happy, and I needed to hear happy. I wanted to hear what Santa had brought them. So I called her expecting her to answer with a, like, light, happy voice, and I hear, hello?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, no. I said, are you okay? And, you know, it's one of these girlfriends that you call three times a day. We were in business together. We loved each other. We phoned all the time. And I said, when I said, are you okay? This little old lady's voice said, who is this? And I was like, oh, no, it's 7 o'clock Christmas morning. I've just woken up some little old lady. I had no idea where, because I dialed long distance for my girlfriend. So I asked her where she was. Well, even the numbers in her telephone phone number were totally different than my girlfriend's, totally. And there was no one involved for long distance. She lived about 40 minutes from where my mom lived. And then, so she started talking, and she told me that her husband had passed, and she had nowhere to go on Christmas Day, and she was all alone. And so then after I can talk to anybody, obviously. And then I heard my mother stirring, and I went in and I said, would it be okay? Her name was Faith, can you imagine? Could Faith come to Christmas dinner? My mom said, sure, but it had been snowing. And so Faith hung up, and she contacted the bus. Of course, you know, everybody's on holiday schedule. And it took her an hour and a half to come to our place. And while she was coming, she thought, wait a minute, is this crazy? It is a different world, as we just showed with, you know, the first story.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to the bus driver, she's thinking, somebody should know at least where I'm going. And when she told him, he says, oh, don't worry, dear, you're going to be fine in that neighborhood. And so he dropped her off at the bottom of our street, and I had to drive down these steep hills to go get her. And this sweet, sweet little old lady gets off the bus, just, of course, the only passenger on the whole bus. And I pick her up, and I take her home, and You know, you open the door and there's a turkey spill, and my mother had put on a pretty red skirt, and her husband had put on a red festive top. I mean, she totally changed the mood of our home, which was a very nice Christmas story to this point. But then when it was time to leave, my mother, who's very British proper, says, "Oh, I'm sorry, Faith, I didn't get your last name." And Faith, and I didn't know it either. And Faith said, "Holden, I about fell over. I knew exactly what had happened. My mother's last name is Holden." There is no way I had ever told Faith that. Faith had the same last name as my mother and Jim, her husband. And Mom says, no, you don't understand. I asked what your last name was. And the lady looked at her like my mom was nuts and says, "It's Holden." And for sure, and it was spelled the same way. There's several ways to spell it. It was the same way. And then they sat down on the couch together in shock and relayed their stories. Both were married to men that had four siblings on each side. And it was like male, female, female, male, in the same birth order. Both of them, neither of their husband's siblings had had any children, just like my mother's. There were so many similarities. It was spooky. But the one thing we did learn was that her husband had died and she'd gone on, and we knew my mother would too. So that was the gift in that. But can you imagine literally something
Incredible.
Happened in the phone exchange and you literally bring a family member home you didn't even know existed?
That is incredible.
I know.
Well,
and that's my life. And I just take it for granted, like, you know, catching a known criminal with an extensive history. It's just like what I do in the morning when I get up.
You know, when I was reviewing some of the stories in here, you have a story, Angels Love Hot Cocoa. And I thought, this is really something that touches the heart, because everyone has their angel moment, as I will call it. And we're aware of different things. And this story is about a trained professional driver. And this driver, I mean, he's driven in all kinds of weather, but it's not fun when you have to have a huge rig underneath you, and you know you've got all of this tonnage that you're trying to very carefully drive down a highway that's covered with snow and ice, and you're really scared because you're dealing with a lot of power. You cannot stop on a dime when you're in these kinds of critical weather conditions. So this driver decided that he needed a little help, so he called on his angels to ride on the hood of his vehicle to keep him safe. And he just had this feeling that they were there with him, and he said, "Well, you know, that's not too good an idea. I don't think it's very nice to ask your angels."
I thought it was cruel to the angels.
Yeah, cruel to the angels. This cracks me up. It's cruel to the angels. So he decided that, "You know what, I'm going to bundle you up and give you some hot cocoa while you ride on the hood." So they said that, scared as they were, it made him laugh out loud to think of his angels on the hood, all bundled up under one blanket, drinking hot cocoa. But that shifted the feeling of fear, driving in those kinds of conditions. And having driven in those types of conditions, I know exactly how this person felt. But what I found fascinating with Anne's story is that this is something a friend picked up on, because the story was shared, and her friend said, "Can I borrow your angels whenever I'm out?" And I just thought, okay, here we go. We're going to borrow angels now. "Yes, I'll give you my angels. They're on loan. You'll have them for so much time, but please return them when you get back in town."
Yeah.
And by golly, that's what was passed along, was the ideas that to her friend, she'd borrow the angels, and she'd bundle them up in a blanket, too, and serve them hot cocoa. And I thought, what a wonderful visual this is.
You know what? When my daughter is like you, and she has very special gifts, and when we would be traveling, we'd climb in the car, and then she goes, "It's okay to go now, Mommy. The angels are here." And I go, "They are? Where are they?" She goes, "They're sitting on top of the car going, wee!" So I guess they do ride outside on all weather. But when you invite them, whether on the front of your car with hot cocoa, or you see them playing like children on top of the roof, you change the energy, and you do bring them into your presence, because people like yourself and my daughter and other psychics who can see angels can see them, and You're inviting them in, and that's why it's called a belief for those of us who can't see. We believe that they show up, and when they do show up with their positive energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, this friend told her friend that, okay, you need to know something. You do have your own angels, and they may feel a little bit bad if you borrow mine. So anyway,
there's lots of angels to go around, and everybody's got them.
Right. That's right. And so I just thought, what a charming story that is. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to tell a child who might be very frightened of certain conditions, and letting them know that there's those guardian angels that are with them. And if they're really concerned, that they can wrap them in a blanket, make sure that they're safe or have a certain house. The imagination is a powerful tool. And serve them a cup of hot cocoa.
Mm-hmm. And they can name their angels. Whatever their favorite name is often the name of their angels. And the other thing they can do is draw a picture of an angel and put it on the front door and the back door so they have something to focus on to know that they are safe and protected. And it brings that energy closer to them, too. By the way, you don't know this because I've never told you, but I have an angel, and his name is Chris. And the reason his name is Chris is because I thought, what do I love the most? And it's Christmas, obviously, Christmas and cats. And I thought, well, Chris is short for Christmas, so my angel's name is Chris.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
And that's what children can do, too.
Now, you absolutely have this passion for cats. And at one time, you were able to join me in studio. And I have a picture that you took of me holding one of your beauties. And they were just babies then. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite animal story? Because you do have this animal column. But for the holidays, do you have a favorite animal story that really has a special place in your heart and mind?
Oh, my gosh. How many minutes have I left?
I have four.
Oh, my very favorite story is in Expect Miracles, and it's by a sister, Mary Julia. And what happened is someone showed up at the Good Shepherd Shelter on Vancouver Island with a great big orange tabby kitty. And it was an elderly couple, and they said their daughter had been involved in a car accident, and the cat wasn't acclimating to their home. It was a no-kill shelter. So they said, would you please take care of whatever the cat's name was at the time? And Mother Superior, they would take care of it. And then what happened was they moved the shelter three times. And every time they moved, it was further and further away from Vancouver Island. Ended up to be, more than an hour down the island up north into a big wooded area. And every night or all day, the animals were allowed to go out and rove around in 52 acres. And then they'd come in at night and they would be fed. But there was one thing about this orange cat. The minute he had showed up originally, and they'd had him for 6 years, he jumped on the window ledge and he looked down the driveway of the shelter. And every time they moved the shelter, which was a trailer on wheels, the catery, if it wasn't looking down a driveway, this cat would go ballistic and they'd have to bring in a truck and remove it. And Kitty was always, they nicknamed him Kitty, was always up on the window ledge. He wouldn't let anybody near him except Sister Brenda. Well, one day, after their third move, a car pulled up onto the gravel driveway, and two crutches emerge, and slowly a woman steps out of the car, and she walks up to the office, and Mother Superior meets her and says, may I help you? And the lady said, yes, I've come for a cat. And Mother Superior looked at her and said, can you even take care of a cat? She said, yes, I used to have a cat, and I loved it. It died while I was in the hospital. So they went down to the catery, and Mother Superior opened the door, and this woman walked up with her crutches, and she took two steps inside that catery, and Kitty saw the woman and flung off of the shelf, the window ledge, and landed on the woman's chest, throwing her to the ground. Her crutches went two different ways, and Mother Superior's mouth dropped. She was horrified. This cat had never showed any aggressive traits. And then she focused on what was happening. The woman was crying. I cry every time I tell this story. The woman was crying, and the cat was licking her all over the face. This cat had waited 6 years. This woman could have adopted a cat in Victoria, in Sydney, in Langley, any area. She could have gone to a pet store. She could have gone to a humane society. But she had climbed in her car, in her condition and driven north for over an hour to come to Good Shepherd Shelter, and there was her cat waiting for her to go home for Christmas.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, Mary Ellen, stories like this, and that's why your book, Christmas Filled with Miracles, and you have another one, Expect Miracles, and then you're working on another book. There's stories that just touch the heart, and they're a great way, I think, just to celebrate life in general. But Christmas Filled with Miracles has so many wonderful, wonderful stories in it.
Thank you.
Give out your website and the information about your newsletter before we close out.
Okay, the website is Angel Scribe, is in writing for an angel, ANGELSCRIBE .com. And my email is angelscribe@msn.com. And if they write me, I'll send them. It's free, the newsletters. There's the Angel Scribe. There's the wonderful, inspiring pet stories where pets save people's lives and save each other's lives. And every now and then we throw in about a cat burglar who's pawing through cars.
Well, I can tell you, I've known Mary Ellen for years, and you can tell she's a natural storyteller, and whatever she offers is always from the heart, but it's got a lot of fact behind it, too. Mary Ellen, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Happy holidays to you. And
thank you, Donna.
You
and many miracles, many miracles to your listeners.
Thank you so much. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. When we come back, more good things to share. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Rio. I'm the author of the cutting-edge book, Hooked on Raw. I want to give you and your loved ones the gift of optimum health. So when you order my book, Hooked on Raw, which has over 350 delicious, healthy recipes, I'll include my new DVD, What's Not Cooking in Rio's Kitchen, for a half price. Just go to my website, rawfoodinfo.com, and click on Holiday Special. That's rawfoodinfo.com. Click on Holiday Special.
Hello, and this is Donna Sebo doing a remote broadcast here in Allen, Washington. We've got rain coming down. The sky is, well, the Northwest gray that we're so renowned for. But, oh, wow, you can tell the holiday feeling is all around us. Lights are just beaming and gleaming, and people have decorated out here. It's just a delight. The view of the green and the rain falling and Christmas lights is absolutely magical. Well, I do want to give you a couple points of information for those of you in Western Washington. Don't forget, I'm going to be participating in the Dickens Festival in downtown Tacoma, Washington, in the Stadium District at King's Bookstore. And I'm going to be there Saturday, this Saturday, December the 11th, from 11 o'clock until 4. So I'm doing many consultations, and part of the proceeds are going to be donated to the charity that the organizers for the festival, and by the way, this is their sixth year that they are putting together. So come on down, say hello, but check out the Dickens Festival to find out about all the wonderful activities that are going on. It is totally oriented towards the family. It is a great way to get everybody into a holiday mood. Sometimes we get so busy with all of our responsibilities. We need a day where we can just play. And this festival, the Dickens Festival in Tacoma, Washington, is perfect for that. So bundle everybody up. Come on out. Be sure to carry an umbrella. We're not going to have a white season this year. We're going to have a liquid one. Liquid gold, I like to call it. But it's nonetheless still a lot of fun. And it is just going to be a pleasure meeting with so many of you that will be coming out. So that is coming up this Saturday. By the way, I did not get a chance to share Ina Garten's maple roasted butternut squash with you yesterday. This is a fabulous dish for any time. It's a winter dish. It really is good, so I'll be sharing that with you. But before I get to that, I wanted to let you know the call-in number, if you would like to have me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And what I will do when you call in, I just need your first name or initial. I will tell you whatever it is that I perceive about you. And then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you are wanting insight and information on. Well, I was giving out the horoscope yesterday. I wasn't able to give out any information. We had gone through two signs for the winter horoscope for Aries and Taurus. But how about those of you who are under the sign of Gemini and Libra and maybe a Scorpio? So let me give you some of that. For those of you born under the sign of Gemini, for family, well, you're going to find that there is really a lot of interaction that's going to be going on. Plans for activities to be able to come together during the holiday season is going to be very, very meaningful to you. Don't forget those friends that might be a part of your extended family. Include them as well. You don't need to have your holiday alone. When it comes to money, well, you're going to be shifting into the gear of prosperity. And I want to say it may come in ways that you would not anticipate. You are, if you're looking for work, going to be able to find what really is that you're looking for. Now, finances are going to be getting stronger, but it still pays to be prudent. So if you get some extra money, just start the habit of saving that you haven't been able to do very well for the past few years. Start that habit of saving, and you are going to see quite a bit accumulated within a reasonable amount of time. I don't know that you're going to be traveling a lot during the holiday season this year, but after the first of the year, it seems like there may be some trips that you're going to want to plan for, and economically, you'll be able to work with them in such a way that it's not going to really strap the pocketbook. Those of you born under the sign of Libra, by golly, you're going to be very supportive of someone who's very close to you. It could be a family or a member of a friend's family, someone who is holding a very special place in your heart. And when they have to be, well, let's say, sort of looked over, watched out for, taken care of, you're going to be able to meet that need very easily. And it's something that will mean a lot to you. You don't seem to be under a lot of stress this holiday season. It's as if a part of you says, no, I think I'm just going to really not try to put myself under undue expectations, and this is going to be very, very satisfying. You're going to have a wonderful holiday season. And by the way, money and career, well, you are going to be able to give your piggy bank a boost, or maybe I should say your savings account a boost, because you are going to be working with money in ways that you had never, ever anticipated. So this is just really going to be a very good time. Now, what about having a special getaway? Start making your plans. Make your plans, and you're not going to be unhappy with the actual results. Money a little bit tight. You can't afford it if you touch bases with friends and with those people that might be in the area that you would like to visit. It's going to be very, very positive for you. And last but not least for today, Scorpio, let's look at what's happening for you during this winter season, apparently this holiday season is going to have some extra special memories for you. You really enjoy the old-fashioned type of Christmas. I'm looking at you baking, doing all kinds of things that maybe you have not felt like you wanted to do before. But something is going to touch those of you under the sign of Scorpio relative to the home and to the family in a very, very special way. So enjoy it because you really have a wonderful season ahead of you. And when it comes to money and career, you're going to find yourself willing to step up to a whole new level of opportunity. Maybe you were a little skittish last year, trying to be safe, not sorry. That's not going to be the case with this winter. If you're hunting and you're looking, you're saying, why not try something different? And you will. And the result will be money is going to be better and the opportunities for being able to enjoy your life with a richness and a knowingness that you are going to have that financial flow that you really want. Travel, well, you're going to be invited to a lot of different environments, and I want to say go for it. Being in places that you've never seen before, experiencing trips that may take you into environments for new friends, new associations, all of this is really going to benefit you. And don't forget those museums maybe you've always wanted to explore. Reach out for those opportunities that are yours right now. Today, you will never, ever regret it. Well, those are three signs of the zodiac. I still have Sagittarius, Cancer, Leo, Virgo, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. So we'll be trying to cover some more of those tomorrow. And this is for a general winter horoscope. It's fun to pull those things out. Well, get out your pad of paper because this is a recipe. I didn't have time to give it to you yesterday. But as I said yesterday, I always, for the longest time, wondered, what do you do with these winter squash that, my gracious, one, they're big, two, they're hard as rocks. What do you do with them? Well, this is a recipe that Ina Gardens put out, and I think it's wonderful, and I love her cooking show, The Barefoot Contessa, and I just think that this is so simple and so easy, and what a delicious recipe it is. Everything about it has just the right taste, and it's not heavy on your system, but boy, is it loaded with nutrition. Now, you're going to need one large butternut squash. And you could use different squashes, but let's start with the butternut. You're going to need one head of garlic, and you want to separate the cloves, but you don't want to peel them. Then you're going to need 2 tablespoons of good olive oil, 2 tablespoons of good olive oil, 2.5 tablespoons of pure maple syrup. No imitation here. Use the real stuff. 1 teaspoon of kosher salt, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, 2 ounces of thinly sliced pancetta, and you want to chop that, and you will need 16 whole fresh sage leaves. Now, there's a difference. Now, if you really are out, if you can't get the whole fresh sage leaves, you can use dried, and I would say, depending on your taste, you might want to have something like about, maybe a tablespoon, a level tablespoon, because you're going to blend it among all of the squash. And have some real good Italian bread or some, I love Italian bread. I love the consistency of it. Or a nice rustic type of whole grain. Oh, it'll just taste wonderful. Now, this is how simple the recipe is. You want to preheat your oven to 400 degrees. You do want to peel and seed your squash, and you want to cut it into 3/4 to 1 inch cubes. So that's going to take you a little bit of time, not a whole bunch, but a little bit of time. Then you want to take your squash and your garlic cloves, and you want to put them on a sheet pan in one layer, sort of like a jelly roll pan. And then you want to toss them with oil, maple syrup, salt, and pepper. Mm-hmm. So just put your oil right over it and have your maple syrup and just toss it. I think what I'd want to do, even though you've put the squash and garlic on a sheet pan in one layer, I think what I'd like to recommend, spray the sheet pan with your nonstick cooking spray. Have this stuff all in a bowl. It's just easier for me to work that way. And then put it in your pan. And you bake for 20 to 30 minutes, and your squash will begin to brown. Now, you do want to take the time to turn the squash once. Turn it once, and then after that, you'll bake it for another 20 to 30 minutes, and the garlic and squash are going to be very tender and caramelized. Now, I found it interesting in this recipe, she didn't want you to peel the cloves. Well, you season if you want a little bit more to taste, and you serve it with bread for your guests, and you spread the bread with the garlic that is roasted in the pan with a squash. Aha! It's a twist you didn't expect. Very good recipe. And the roasted garlic spread on bread is wonderful. And it's just so mellow. It just is absolutely delicious. So that is a recipe that I think can be enjoyed by just about anyone. If you have vegetarian friends, it will be a hit with your holiday dinner. But I'll tell you what, it's a good way to keep yourself trim during a season when we're so frequently involved with real sweet things and we're tasting and eating foods that normally we wouldn't have in our everyday diet, because it is this very special holiday season and so many good cooks are out there. This is a way for you to have good taste, reasonable amount of calories, and you are just going to feel so good with it, because it's going to satisfy what it is that our bodies feel that it needs when it's dark and cold and windy and rainy. So just be good to yourself. Enjoy it. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. When we come back, give me a call if you like it, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Rio, host of the Hooked on Raw radio show on rawenergyradio.com. If you're interested in the raw and living food lifestyle, along with the real story of what's happening to our health freedoms, and you don't mind a little controversy, listen to my radio show and podcasts on rawenergyradio.com. Each week, we interview guests and cover topics you won't hear on mainstream radio. Get informed, healthy, and involved. RawEnergyRadio.com.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. I know we've got a caller on the line, so I'll be going to that caller in just a moment. Before I do, I want to mention that we have a fabulous woman coming on the show tomorrow. Her name is Allison Massari. Her publication is called Ignited. This is a story that when I met her in New York, I just could not believe what I heard. Then, when I reviewed her materials, I said, oh my goodness, I have to have her on the air, because I just am amazed that she was able to survive the conditions that she did. So I hope you'll tune in tomorrow. Tell your friends. This is something that is an incredible an incredible real-life story that I think will be just as impressive to you as it was to me. Well, let's go to our first caller. And by the way, if you want to call in, 888-815-9756 is the number to call. Hello, dear. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. It's Pat in Connecticut.
Hi, Pat. By the way, thank you so much for sending those recipes. They are
You're really good. Very welcome. Very
well. You really enjoy cooking yourself.
I do. Actually, part of my job is cooking for a family on the property I live on, so I do get to cook. And now that I have a new dog, I get to cook for him, too, so that's a lot of fun.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. What do you think caused this passion for cooking with you?
I'm a Cancer.
Really?
You know, astrologically.
Aha, there we go.
I think.
Well, I've known
a lot
of Cancers that didn't like to cook, so that's
really?
Why I was wondering. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, I'm a real mother. I love to mother too much, a little bit too much.
So you're one of those people, it's like a friend of mine, that she said if she was born in the wrong century, she said she really loves being a homebody. She loves cooking. She loves her crafts and things like that. She said, I'm living in an era of where I'm supposed to be a career woman. And she said, I really don't want to do that.
Yeah, I say the same thing. I wish I was born 200 years ago, homesteading and knitting and spinning yarn.
That's her.
All that.
That's her.
Candy.
Yes, she just
Absolutely.
Has a love for that. Well,
yeah.
Let's get down to business with you, Pat. The first thing that I wanted to share with you is that you've got two people that are in your environment. I don't think they're immediate family. I think they're people that you cross paths with occasionally. And they're going to be going through some pretty difficult times. And the reason it's going to be tough for them is they really don't have very much in the way of a comfort zone about communicating with other people. And I believe they're going to be having not just some economic challenges, but also some physical health problems that will be challenging them. And you're going to become aware of them, and you do have a way about yourself that I think allows you to get the facts about people, and yet you don't cause them to feel like they're losing face. In other words, you respect and honor their need for privacy, whatever's required. But you're a detective. You watch, you look, you listen, you'll ask questions that are not felt like being invasive until you get what you need to know. And then you go, ah, now I've got it. Now I know what I can do. So I think you've got a wonderful talent here. And I would like for you, believe it or not, to consider going in for some specialized training, possibly with hospice. I think that it is going to serve you well. I'm not seeing you doing full-time hospice work, but I'll tell you how I think it's going to assist you. I think it's going to assist you in a way and manner with individuals so that as they are going through changes in their life, whether they're losing a loved one or something else is evolving, you're going to know how to communicate with them more effectively than what you do now. And that is going to be very, very meaningful to you. You also are going to find that as your own intuitive skills grow, that you are becoming more attuned to the presence of those on the other side. So this is something that for you is going to be a cycle over the next 3 years. I think it's going to be quite educational. So I would encourage you to consider getting a certification in hospice work and or a level of counseling that enables you to have that piece of paper that it gives you the okay to do the communication as you want to do, because I think it's going to be very significant. I really do. What's your question for me today?
Well, I'm going to ask about my dog. I finally named him Chance. And I have gotten quite a bit of negative response about him in the sense of he's just going to be a problem dog or a guard dog and so on. But I'm trying to give him love and give him a chance, and he has aggression issues, so on and so on. I'm going to be checking in with you occasionally about this dog.
All right, and how old is Chance?
He's 2. He was kicked off the naval base for biting a girl that was tormenting him. I think he was probably tied up most of his life and probably teased and tormented. So he's flopping back and forth. He's a great love inside this house. And outside, I think he's confused. I don't think he's experienced much. And he gets somewhat aggressive.
Well, and what's his breed?
He's a black and tan coon hound and I think a treeing walker hound mix.
All right, dear. I would like you to do a couple of things. Now, what I'm getting is that this animal, you're going to be very grateful for this animal. And that you've named him Chance, that's fine. But I really would like for you to find out about some people that have worked with these dogs. And I'd like you to find one that understands the aggressive side of its personality, because this behavior that he has is a natural behavior, but it needs to be trained and disciplined. Now, the fact that he's gone through an abusive cycle, he's been bounced around. So the reason he is confused is that there's not been consistency.
Right.
But this is a dog that would give his life for you. So what I'd like for you to do, and oh my goodness, I'm looking at my time, I'm running out. I want you to try to find someone that understands the typical patternings of this breed of dog. And that'll give you an ace to work with. You need somebody that can assist you. I've got to go, dear. I'm sorry.
Thanks,
I'm out
Donna.
Of time. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with me today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. We'll be back tomorrow with an amazing story. Hope you can join me. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.